does have it all. All of our pre-owned vehicles are Hubler Q certified, which include a 128-point vehicle inspection, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and two warranties. A two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and a 30-day, 1,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Visit any of our 13 locations today, or click drivehubler.com. Hubler has it all.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell. A lot of basketball to talk about. Semi-states, Big Ten championship, all kinds of basketball. Right now, though, busiest guy you know because he knows all the scores. It's Network Indiana's Eddie Garrison.
Thank you, Coach Lovell. A lot of college basketball today. One Indiana College and Purdue done. One in action right now. The Hoosiers are in action in Minneapolis, Minnesota at the Target Center where the Minnesota Timberwolves play. Just under 4 minutes left in the first half. Indiana down by 9 to Nebraska, 33-24. Mackenzie Mbako leading the Indiana Hoosiers in scoring with 11 points. Malik Renew has 7. Khalil Ware has been the primary source of offense for Indiana during this winning streak for the Hoosiers, 0-for-3 from the floor. He's got 4 rebounds, 2 blocks. As for Nebraska, their leading scorer is Bryce Williams, and he's got it going. 4-of-5 from downtown, 5-of-7 from the floor. He's got 14 points. Keisei Tominaga, he scored 20-plus points in both regular season matchups between Nebraska and Indiana. And the guard has 1-3 on 3 attempts, but he's got 9. So 23 points from the two guards. From Nebraska as a team, the Cornhuskers, 7-of-15 from downtown. Indiana, just 2-of-6. The Hoosiers are plus 2 on the glass, and they have 7 offensive rebounds, but they've turned the ball over 6 times. 3:48 to go in the first half. Earlier today, the first game on the college basketball slate featured the Purdue Boilermakers and the Michigan State Spartans. 67-62 victory for Matt Painter's crew. They're now 29-3 on the season. Zach Edey was dominant once again. 29 points, 12 rebounds. The scare in this game, though, in the second half, just past the 10-minute mark, Braden Smith exited the game, and he was grabbing his lower right leg. Matt Painter, after the game, gave an update on Braden Smith's injury.
Yeah, he said it was his calf. He said he like pulled a calf muscle or got hit in the calf. I'm not sure there. And then he said he was able to go. So obviously we went with him. I don't think he was the same, right? He wasn't as aggressive. You know, he really didn't try to get to his pull up or drive very much. He was just solid out there. So we'll see. Sometimes those things in the next day, you know, you're perfectly fine, and sometimes they get progressively worse. So we'll just kind of, you know, see what's going on and see how he's feeling tonight and tomorrow morning.
In the game, Braden Smith, 2-of-7 from the floor, only 26 minutes. That's because he exited for a good chunk there in the second half. 5 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds. Other contributors offensively for Purdue besides 29 from Zach Edey. Lance Jones, he had 10 points, half of those coming from the free throw stripe. And Mason Gillis off the bench, he had 8 points, 5 assists. He was crucial to the win for the Purdue Boilermakers. They will take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers tomorrow afternoon. That game is expected to start at 1 o'clock. Of course, Nebraska winning earlier today just after Purdue. They were able to hold off the Fighting Ohio State Buckeyes, a big win for the Badgers earlier today. The final score against that game, that was Northwestern. Ohio State lost to Illinois. So the winner of the Indiana and Nebraska game will face Illinois, who defeated Ohio State. But Nebraska defeated Northwestern 70-61 earlier this afternoon. Star for the Wisconsin Badgers had 30 points, spoiled the 29-point outing from Boo Booey. Other college basketball scores going on right now. Upset City, Oregon, Arizona, and has been all Ducks in the second half. They're up 61-52. They're outscoring Arizona 38-19. That's a big, big number for the Ducks. 4 minutes to go, but Oregon still has work to do to make the NCAA tournament. In the second half, just under 12 minutes to go, Providence Marquette, number 10 Marquette, up by 12. The Friars are one of those bubble teams along with Indiana State. And just about a half hour ago, ESPN's bracketologist Joe Lenardi released the field as of right now before this weekend's games. And he has Indiana State as one of the teams that are first four out. Of course, Indiana State can't move their way up into the field. They have to hope for teams to move their way out of the field.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk, year number 30 of the legendary show, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. DrivenToSaveLives.org is their website. Butler ended their season earlier in the week in the Big East tournament, not the way they expected. Xavier beat them 76-72. With me, the voice of the Butler Bulldogs, Mark Minner. Mark, thanks for taking time. Tough game, tough loss. I know a disappointing loss, but listen, they're better than they were a year ago. You can see noticeable progress in this group, and I think there are many things to be pleased about. Clearly not the loss, but pleased about overall and what the Dogs did this year.
Without a question, Coach, I think if you look back at this year and you said, here's the position you're in, it's been a tough journey over the last couple of years, and you know Thad Matta had to rebuild this roster construction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you were in this spot, what would you feel? And I think on the whole, this has been a fantastic season. You've had a lot of really incredible wins. You've had a lot of incredible progress. But you had a tough stretch down the last part in February,
right,
against some really tough conference opponents. And so now you're a team that's looking at what the NIT might hold and going to continue to try and play in the postseason. An NIT tournament that I should mention is hosted at Hinkle Fieldhouse in the semifinals and finals. I think, you know, in this day and age, in trying to rebuild a roster, you don't know what you have. You get two top 15 road wins. You continue to improve from the last couple of years. I think there's a lot to be proud of. And I know that this team feels disappointed with the way that it ended in New York City and the way that the last month played out, because they had high hopes, right? They had put themselves in a position where they were starting to get talked about in NCAA tournament conversations. But with perspective and looking back in a broader sense, there's been an incredible amount of progress this year and a lot of really talented Bulldogs on the roster. So, I think myself, and I'm sure a lot of Bulldog fans out there along the way, mm-hmm, they're excited for what the NIT or the postseason opportunity might hold for the Bulldogs this year.
Well, I think the immediate thing you see was the talent level improved dramatically. No offense
Absolutely.
To anyone, but the players were better. Talent was better, deeper, better roster, if you will. And, I think the thing you have to see, you notice from day one, was this group was competitive. They competed every night. Now, they may not have played as well as you'd like for them to. Clearly, they didn't, but they competed. And I think you could argue that that wasn't necessarily the case in previous groups.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, Coach. I think if you look at it and you think about those other Bulldogs from the last roster, to their credit, a lot of those players are individually having good seasons with other teams, and that's awesome.
Right.
I think that's what everybody
right.
wants. And I think sometimes you've got to figure out the roster construction, right, the chemistry. And this group of Bulldogs, I love that word, competed. That's what Thad wanted, right? That level of edge, not to be in lopsided losses or anything like that that they've experienced previously. Mm-hmm. You look at some of the games that they've had. Villanova, a game that they come back barely led into double overtime and end up getting the victory. Providence, come back and fight back in that game. Cal, double overtime. Texas Tech at home, overtime. You look at some of these games across the season where they found their way to fight back in, including an absolute battle against Creighton on the road, 99-98, where they got the
right,
victory
right.
against the top Blue Jays team. This is a team that has competed all season long, and they found a way to be in there. They weren't able to close out some of those games that they wanted that would have made the difference necessarily for being an at-large a team in contention or some of the Big East standings. But on the whole, they did compete. There was a lot of really great highlights throughout the season. And I think also the other thing to remember, senior night only consisted of two players, Jalen Thomas
right.
and John Michael Malloy. It's hard to predict in this day and age what the roster might fully look like next year, but you bring a lot of players
right.
back. And I think you understand that you were building a team to not just perform this year, but to also build it for next year as well.
Couldn't put it any better. Mark Minner with us, the voice of the Butler Bulldogs. The other thing that, you know, Thad now gets a chance to put together his non-conference schedule. I'm sure he inherited
That's
a
right.
lot of those coming in. So he gets a chance. He's got a chance to rework his roster, now rework his schedule in year two of the reclamation project.
Yeah, he does. And coach, I'm sure over the last decade or so, it's interesting. Roster construction is a really interesting thing. You've got a certain amount of conference games that, you know, the Big 12, Big East conversation. What does that look like? You're trying to schedule a certain amount of power conference home and home games. But then the other thing that you think about is now metrics play such a big role, right? Who do you schedule? How do you schedule them? When do you schedule? All of these types of questions that now you're looking at, and different conferences are trying to figure out how they set the non-conference schedule. So I do think that's part of it. I think the other thing, though, is you start to learn who your team is and what you have for next year and what kind of matchups you look to schedule. So it'll be fun to see where this team goes rest of the postseason and certainly into next year as well.
Can you hang with me through this short break?
Yep, I can.
Perfect. Mark Minner and I'll come back and talk Bulldog basketball on Indiana Sports Talk.
It's halftime in Minnesota between the Indiana Hoosiers and the Nebraska Cornhuskers. I'm Eddie Garrison with this Indiana Sports Talk scoreboard updates. Let's fast forward, though. Before it was at halftime, McKenzie Mbako went to the free throw line after being fouled on a three with 3:29 to go. Was 33-27 after he converted all three of them. On the ensuing Nebraska possession, Keisei Tominaga missed a shot. CJ Gunn missed the three. And then this is how Nebraska closed out the first half. Keisei Tominaga three. Pair of free throws from Jawan Gary. Jamarcus Lawrence, three-pointer. Jawan Gary, three-pointer, and Keisei Tominaga, three-pointer. This is how it started, or it sounded on the radio with Don Fisher on Learfield.
Tominaga out near midcourt, drives it to the right side, pulls it back out, now takes a heat check three and hit it. Unbelievable. That was about a 25-footer. His 18th point of the game, and we're at halftime, and this crowd is going nuts, and Indiana is going to the locker room shaking their heads. They trail Nebraska 50-27.
Keisei Tominaga led the Cornhuskers on a 17-0 run, the final 3:06. Indiana struggling offensively. Kalel Ware with 0 points, and McKenzie Mbako's 3 of 11, 7 of his 14 coming from the free throw stripe. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Eddie Garrison.
Welcome back, everyone. We resume our conversation with Mark Minner, the voice of the Butler Bulldogs. Dogs were eliminated in Big East play earlier in the week and wrapped up a good season in many respects. We were talking about talent and talking about reworking the schedule. And in this day and age, I'm not sure what happens talent-wise. But you have to believe that if the first recruiting class Thad brought in is an indication that there clearly are reasons, plenty of reasons to be optimistic about their ability to continue to rework this roster and make it what he wants.
Yeah, for sure, Coach. I think, you know, part of it is just continuing to build, right? Continuing to build upon itself. As I mentioned in the last segment, you know, there are two seniors that have graduated, Jalen Thomas and John Michael Malloy. So you have the opportunity to retain a big portion of your roster. Only 8%, 9% of the minutes from last year's team returned on this year's roster. So it was a big roster reconstruction. And while you know you might not be able to bring everybody back, you've got a nucleus, right? You've got something to build upon from this year's team that has done such a great job starting to continue to move in the right direction and one of the toughest conferences in the country. And I think look at that and his understanding of the Big East, combined with his legacy of being such a prolific basketball coach along with that entire staff. And there's a lot to be excited about. And certainly we'll see, as I mentioned, what happens within the NIT to be able to continue that season with this group of players, but also in the off season and thinking about going into next year, just continuing to take a step forward, right, is something that I think there's a lot of excitement about on campus.
Yeah, and you know what? There should be a lot of excitement on campus and off campus, and I think there is. And I think when you're Thad Monty, you've developed a lot of capital with people in our city and our state. You know, people take you seriously, and they should. And I think there's much to be said about that. The other thing that Thad can't control, that's the problem, is he can't control Rick Pitino being hired at St. John's, and he can't control the progress that other teams make. You know, you can do what you do, but there are plenty of things over which you have no control.
Well, for sure. And I think there's a big piece of that are dynamics like NIL dollars and how the dynamics have shifted in terms of the priorities for college basketball coaches. Look no further than 2 days ago. Chris Holtmann was announced as the head coach of DePaul. DePaul is a team that had 3 wins this year. And DePaul and Georgetown were the 2 teams that, by, you know, all intents and purposes, Big East teams could count on trying to have an opportunity to get wins. Chris Holtmann is an incredible basketball coach, as Butler fans know, and as Ohio State fans know. To be able to go to DePaul, you know Chris Holtmann is going to move that program forward. The challenge is, where do you get your wins, right, in conference play? You've got such parity in the conference. You've got 11 teams and the incredible head coaching caliber, so you can't control a lot of things. How you schedule non-conference, how you perform in the non-conference, how you perform in the conference, and how you continue to move the ball forward each and every day with your roster is really important. And so there's a lot of factors, as there always have been, as there always will be for college coaches. But I think at the end of the day, you know, Thad Monty has proven himself to be an incredible leader, not only of a team, but of a program. And I think you're seeing that continue to move forward at Butler. And I'm really excited about what that continued growth will be building off this season.
I share your optimism. Mark Minner, the voice of the Butler Bulldogs, thank you so much for all you do for the show and for me. I appreciate it. You're one of my favorites. You recognize that. I hope you realize that. So enjoy the time. I'll catch up with you, but thanks for doing this, Mark.
Coach, I'm one of many that have great admiration and appreciation for you. And if I can do a small part of that, I appreciate you, and I can't wait to be with you at some point this summer.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks, Mark. Thank you very much.
Congratulations, Coach. Congratulations.
Thanks. Thanks very much. Greg Rakestraw joins us, the broadcaster of the year in our state, the most prolific voice in our state, an absolute treasure, quite frankly, for those of us who are Hoosiers and even non-Hoosiers, Greg Rakestraw never turned down the opportunity to do a game. Tonight, he has the University of Indianapolis' women's team, 95-67 winners over Florida National in NAIA National Tournament play. Greg Rakestraw, thanks so much for the call.
Yeah, the Marion women bobber ranked number 1 in the country. They have obviously had some great teams. This is their 10th consecutive NAIA National Tournament appearance, but they go in as the number 1 seed. And frankly, they were impressive tonight, as the 28-point women indicate. That was actually a closer game until about the end of the third quarter, when Florida National just kind of ran out of gas, and Marion was the more physical team, Marion was the bigger team, and Marion was tremendous in terms of sharing the basketball tonight. They had 28 assists in tonight's game in Marion. The passing exhibition they put on against a team that, frankly, a little quicker than them in Florida National was a sight to behold. So Marion gets one more home game. They will take on Stephens College of Missouri in their second-round game on campus tomorrow at 6 o'clock. ISC Sports Network will have the coverage of that one. And if Marion wins, they will be in the Final 16, and they are moving on to Sioux City, Iowa, where they will play either Wednesday or Thursday in the national round of the NAIA tournament.
Unfortunately, the news for the men's team wasn't as good earlier tonight.
Yeah, they lost to Florida College. I knew they were down 12, about 2 minutes left to go, and I think they were the only of the 5 Crossroads League teams
that unfortunately
go home after night number 1. But frankly, this was a group that I thought overachieved significantly this year with Coach Scott Hetty, because they were kind of uniquely constructed. Several great guards, couple of talented bigs, not much in between. And so you would usually see four guards and a 6'10 post on the floor together. Scott changed the way this team played, and kind of frankly not how he would normally coach in terms of an offensive standpoint, because he realized the talent that he had, and he had to kind of outscore teams more than he normally would, you know, led by Gus Etchison, led by Brody Whitaker from Greencastle. This is a team that returns most of their squad for next year. So the fact that they got up to fourth in the league standings was a good accomplishment. I'm not sure if outside of the program there was much thought this group would make the national tournament. So disappointed to be one and done. It'll be a long bus trip back from Southern Kentucky tonight, but it was still a really good year for Scott Hetty's team.
All right, so as if I don't already know, who were the stars for the women's team in their big win?
Ella Collier. She had 19 points, but really, you know, this was, you know, and she had four threes in the third quarter to kind of, you know, put the distance in that game that it needed to. But Aaliyah Evans from Greensburg was fantastic off the bench. Allison Bossy from Brownsburg had 12 points in the first half and is really Marion's best on-ball defender. Kennedy Girard, the fifth-year senior from Pike, was tremendous as well. But that's what makes this group special. And they, now that they are to this point in time, this group knows if they lose or if they get five more wins, meaning a national championship, that's it. And this is a group that has largely been together for the last 4 years. Abby McNally is the one kind of underclassman that sees a lot of playing time for this group. Six of the top seven are seniors. And so, you know, this group knows at most they have 2 weeks left together, and they have a very legitimate chance of hoisting that third red banner in Marion women's basketball history. And first, it would not be at the Division II level, but the single unified NAIA championship.
I have a minute. What games are you doing tomorrow?
I'm doing Newcastle, buddy. I'm not sure we can fit that into a minute.
You know what? You need to hang on. I'll rearrange my schedule tonight.
I need to go put on my sweater vest as tribute to Mark Minter being on before me, so that's good. I'll come back with it.
Segment. Go do that, and then we'll come back. Greg Rakestraw will hang out and we'll be ready. Greg Rakestraw, we'll come back. We'll talk some more basketball. Thanks.
With this Indiana Sports Talk scoreboard update, I'm Eddie Garrison. Second half underway in Minneapolis between Indiana and Nebraska. Neither team has scored in just about 90 seconds into the second half. 50-27 all Nebraska. Keisei Tominaga leading all scorers with 18 points, followed by Bryce Williams with 14. So the two of them are outscoring Indiana alone with 32. Indiana's leading scorer is Mackenzie Mbako. He has 14 points. Boys basketball tomorrow, semi-state action starting in class 4A in the Elkhart portion of the state. Crown Point and Fishers will be the first game. That is a 10 o'clock tip in the morning. Fort Wayne Wayne will take on Mishawaka at 11:45, and then the winners of those two games will reconvene at 7:30 in the nightcap. The other semi-state location is in Newcastle, and I'll leave that to Greg Rakestraw to dissect here in a matter of moments. In Class 3A at Logansport, it's Peru and South Bend St. Joseph starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. Delta and Fairfield are at noon, a half hour after the conclusion of the previous game. Then the winners of those two games will take on one another at 8 o'clock. That is in Logansport in Class 3A for semi-state action. Seymour features four teams: Guerin Catholic, Danville, Scottsburg, and Evansville Bossy. The first game at 10 o'clock, Guerin Catholic and Danville, Scottsburg, and Evansville Bossy will play at noon. The two winners will play at 8 o'clock. And then in 2A, Lafayette Jeff will feature Rapahani and North Judson at 10. Fort Wayne Blackhawk and Wabash at noon. The two winners will play at 7:30. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Eddie Garrison.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Greg Rakestraw from the ISC Sports Network with us, Broadcaster of the Year. All right, Greg Rakestraw, Newcastle Fieldhouse, the site for the 4A matchups between Center Grove and Ben Davis, followed by Jeffersonville and Lawrence North on the ISC Sports Network. I understand you need more than a minute to talk about those matchups.
I do. And I was fortunate to have Center Grove and Ben Davis in the football semi-state.
Right.
If the basketball game can be as good as the football game, we're all in for a treat. And I had the pleasure of seeing those two teams at Southport last week and was very impressed by both. Mark Zachary was tremendous for Ben Davis. The entire team was, but he was the difference maker in beating a very good New Pal team by 11 and pulling away from them late. He was the player that New Pal did not have an answer for. And in the last 2 years, when Ben Davis has needed a big win, he has been the kid that has stepped up as much as anybody to get that job done. And, Bob, it's a Center Grove team that I liked all year, and I thought they would be a difference maker come tournament time. But I had not seen them since mid-December, and the improvement in their 6'10 junior in Mike Ephraim was jaw-dropping. Right. He was so raw when I saw him back in December, but he's throwing post moves. He's doing great things defensively, and he's the one thing or one of the things that Center Grove would have able to kind of guard Ben Davis a little bit differently than, say, New Pal could a week ago, because they have a rim protector. You know, Center Grove's got great length. Really, four of their top seven are 6'6", 6'7", or taller. So I don't know if Center Grove matches Ben Davis's speed, but they're bigger than Ben Davis's, and they got a rim protector. So, again, there's a lot of different angles to that game number one. Game number two is Lawrence North and Jeff, and Lawrence North at their best is as good as anybody in the state. And they seemingly had a little bit of a dip at the end of January, first couple of weeks of February, where they lost three times in the span of 14 days, and one of those, by the way, was to Ben Davis back on February the 9th. But they have picked it up since that point in time. Jeffersonville, I cannot commend what Sharon Wilkerson has done for this team this year in terms of scheduling to get them ready for this round of the tournament. They opened at Cathedral. They played at Center Grove. They played six games in the span of 8 days in holiday tournaments in Kokomo and Fishers. They made themselves battle-tested to be able to get out of their sectional, but then beat a good Harrison team last week, and then to be ready to face a team like Lawrence North. So LN's going to be the favorite in that game, but I really like the way the pieces fit for this Jeffersonville team. I think they've got enough size they can contend with the bigs in terms of Miller and McGrew. So I really think both games are going to be pretty good tomorrow at Newcastle. And frankly, I think whatever the combination of two teams in that gets the championship game tomorrow night, just give us a really good showcase championship game tomorrow evening as well.
And I think whoever is able to survive this, I would automatically label them as the favorite to maybe win the championship, because if you're going to get out of this, you're really good.
Well, Fishers might have another argument for you on that front. You know, if they
get out
of the
north, they would.
They're going to be the favorite, but again, Fishers beat LN. Even though Jeff played in Fishers tournament, they did not face each other. Fishers played Ben Davis the first game of the season, and Ben Davis played without Mark Zachary. And there's been an asterisk to that. Oh, and by the way, the last time Center Grove lost a game was Fishers on their home floor December 22nd in overtime in a game that Garrett Weiniger was not coaching for Fishers because he and his lovely wife were welcoming their latest child into the world. So it's unique in the fact that Fishers is kind of tied into all four of the teams that are playing in the South semi-state. Obviously, Fishers has to get through Crown Point, Wayne, and or Mishawaka in the championship game. But, again, I think this is setting up. And you've heard me say this all year. You know, this was not – even as good as Fishers has been, this is not last year where it was Ben Davis and then it was everybody else. This is a year where there had been really good matchups the first 2 weeks, and I don't think that's going to change the last 2 weeks of the 4A tournament either.
To go back to the Center Grove Fishers story, I don't think I've told you this. I send Garrett a text you know, I don't realize his wife is pregnant and they're about to give birth. I send him a text. My hand to God, this is a true story. Yeah, I can't make this stuff up, right? And I send him a text, hey, great win. Call the show if you get a chance, right? Well, I don't send the text, and I get a response, and it's a picture of his wife at a hospital bed holding the newborn baby, and he's going, I don't think I'm going to be able to call you. And so, you know, you can imagine, and you've sat in this chair, you get interesting calls. I've had a bunch of them. That was one of my favorites, without question. So
he made the absolute right choice, and the way his team has played for him, he's been rewarded for that ever since.
So you're going to be busy tomorrow, are you not? Yikes.
I am.
You got a short turnaround.
The nice thing about this is that, you know, I get to visit some of my favorite stomping grounds in Newcastle.
Right.
You know, like Mancino's, like The Press, which is a wonderful coffee shop in the old location of the newspaper offices in Newcastle. And then they're going to have extended hours at the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. So I get to hang and be there knowing we've got the banquet coming up on Wednesday. So probably a good time for me to spend a little extra time with Matt Martin, the folks at the Hall of Fame tomorrow.
Don't get overwhelmed by that photo of me in the hall. I mean, let me tell you what, the drawing or whatever they call it, I actually like it. But I haven't been to the hall since that night. I need to get there. Everybody needs to get there, quite frankly. Well, Greg Rakestraw, call me tomorrow when you get a chance, because I know you're going to have – I'm sure you'll be fine voice-wise. But be careful. Drive safely and enjoy the day.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Coming up, going to spend some more time talking about basketball. All right, Eddie, give me some good news. Give me some good news about the Hoosiers.
I don't have good news.
Okay. Give me some news, Eddie.
Well, I can say they are outscoring Nebraska in the second half by two, but there's still only 16 minutes left in there in a 21-point hole.
Right. So were you watching the game when this three-point barrage is unfolding?
Yeah.
Are you able to believe what you're seeing?
No. The last one that KSA Tominaga hit was on a contested step back at the hash mark.
Oh, my.
That's just how much
he think
he
is, Caitlin Clark or what?
He thought he was Steph Curry. I mean, it was.
Oh, my goodness.
It was something.
So, you know, I'm not watching the game, so I don't know, but I did spend 20-plus years coaching basketball at the college level, and I would tell guys, you got to guard them closer, you got to run them off the line, you got to try to deny, you know, all kinds of things. They're not going to cool off unless you cool them off. And you're talking about, you know, knocking down contested threes. Yeah, you're doing what you can do. And the other part of it, Eddie, some nights it's not your night.
Yeah, that's certainly the case. Nebraska's made 12 of their 22 threes. Now, I will say eight of those have been uncontested. The other three or four have been contested, but they've been late contest. Indiana's gone under a lot of screens and has let guys open. And I'm not entirely sure why, because Nebraska lit them up both previous matchups in the regular season from three. So you would think they would try to go and work over those screens and funnel everything to their shot blocking big and Kolober, but that is certainly not the case. And then offensively for Indiana, they just haven't been able to get the ball to Kolober. Only five shots, he's missed them all, but he's been double teamed every time he's touched the ball. So he really hasn't been put in a position to succeed offensively.
Well, what a disappointing night for the Hoosiers and the Hoosier faithful. All right, Eddie, thanks for the update. I appreciate it. And a reminder, your Greyhounds tomorrow at Nickerson Hall in the Division II tournament. What time's the game?
5:00.
5:00 over against William Jewell. You'll talk about it. We'll talk about it a little bit later. Scoreboard update coming up with Eddie. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.
Hoosiers making a little bit of a run. They've cut it down to 18 points Khalil Ware with the steal and a dunk that gave him his first field goal. He's got 4 points, but Indiana's still down 18 points. 14 minutes left in the second half. Now let's take a look at some other games that are going on right now. This one pertaining towards Indiana State, the Providence Friars and the Marquette Golden Eagles. 72-68, Marquette holding on to a lead. Providence has had it going in the second half. They've outscored Marquette 37-30. It's at halftime between Iowa State and Baylor. Cyclones leading the Bears 35-27. San Diego State and Utah State. This is in the semifinal for the Mountain West tournament. And Utah State leading San Diego State by 3 at halftime, 39-36. The Florida Gators are another one of those bubble teams out of the SEC. They are in the quarterfinal against the Alabama Crimson Tide, and they are dominating the Crimson Tide. They're up by 15, 48-33. A game still to come later today that could impact Indiana State. Colorado, the Buffaloes, they are taking on Washington State. That's in the Pac-12 semifinal game. That game is expected to start around 11 o'clock, and that will air on Fox Sports 1. Earlier today, Mississippi State, they upset Tennessee in a big way. They beat them big time, 73-56. They were up by as much as 20 points the majority of this one. And Illinois defeated Ohio State 77-74. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Eddie Garrison.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Semi-State Saturday tomorrow. With me from the Indianapolis Star, the best sports writer in our state, Kyle Nedenrip. Hello, Kyle.
Hello, Bob. How are you this evening?
Not bad. Congratulations on the great article on Timmy Adams and his late father, John. Obviously, that matters greatly to me, as you know, but that was well done. It's a great story.
Oh, appreciate that. Yeah, he was, obviously somebody we all knew well and kind of cast a difficult position, obviously, for Tim this season.
Yeah.
But, it's been neat the way he's handled it. And obviously we'll, hold him close throughout their tournament run and going in tomorrow for sure. So, but yeah, appreciate
Where will you be tomorrow?
I'm going to be heading over to Newcastle again for the second consecutive
week. You and 20,000 other people.
Yeah, it was a madhouse last week. I'm sure people are going to be, if they're not there already, heading over early in the morning. So looking forward to that. It's really all four of those teams. I've had a chance to see them, all four of those teams, multiple times this year.
Right.
So really good field. And, this semi-state will be certainly a lot of fun tomorrow. I think that's for sure. I mean, both those matchups, Ben Davis, Center Grove, and LN Jeffersonville should be really good ones.
When Greg and I hosted the pairing show way back when, we talked about balance throughout the state, throughout classes, that unlike Ben Davis a year ago, there was no real clear-cut favorite in 4A, maybe in any of the classes this year. And I think it's played out that way. And Newcastle, semi-state's a perfect example. There are four really good basketball teams playing there tomorrow and have had great success. And then you begin to look around. There are a whole lot of good teams left coming up for semi-state Saturday.
Yeah, and I would, that for sure. And Crown Point and, Fishers is depending on – I know earlier this week, Keenan Garner, it's still sort of his ankle situation, put Fishers, could cause some issues for them, certainly. And Crown Point's a really good team that took, Noblesville right down to the wire this season, and they're a very good team. So, I think, if people are thinking Fishers has a cakewalk, I would think twice about
that.
No,
not at all.
Sure.
No.
To your point. But yeah, I think that, when you look at, I think the Newcastle semi-state's a perfect example of, Ben Davis is the champ until somebody beats him, but obviously they're not, they're not the 33-0 team of last year. And then Lawrence North, for a large part of the season, I thought they were the best team and certainly played like it for a good chunk of the season. And then, had a little bit of struggle, but now, everyone's – healthy, and they're playing well again, and they beat some really good teams in their sectional. And when you got a guy like Xavier Robinson at that guard spot, I mean, it just makes everything else a lot better. But, you know, they've got all the pieces, but Jeffersonville's a team that plays a style that I think will make it tough, you know, for Lawrence North. And then, you know, with Center Grove's shooting ability, I mean, man, no one shoots the three like they do. I mean,
right.
Joey Schmitz is almost 60% from three this year, and then the rest of the team shoots it well also. And they're a senior-led team. So, you know, when you look at, you know, sometimes, though, you know, like Ben Davis last year, I mean, those teams that have seniors who have been through these battles and, you know, have some immediacy and some, you know, need to get the job done, sometimes that matters, too. So there's reasons you could pick all four, you know, of those teams, to your point. And I think that's kind of what makes this season more fun. And honestly, you know, looking way ahead to next year, a lot of these teams bring a lot of people back.
Right,
you know, so
right.
So next year is going to be loaded, man. This junior class, who will be seniors, that's a really good class, very deep class. So I'm already looking ahead, but not too far, not just yet, but next year will be a lot of fun.
Kyle Nedenrip from the Indianapolis Star. Make sure you read his great work. Kyle, thank you so much. Be safe. Have a great day tomorrow.
You bet. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network, year 30 of the legendary show. Can't do without the great work of guys like Eddie Garrison and Elijah Robertson. You're fantastic at what they do. Okay, Eddie, we need an update.
66-42, Nebraska.
How much time?
10 minutes.
With 66-42. Yikes.
It's been Nebraska, two steps
cool
forward,
off.
Three steps back for Indiana in the second half. They get it down. They score like 4 or 5 points, and then Nebraska scores 6 or 7. Indiana scores 4 or 5. Nebraska scores 2 more. Just can't string together stops and scores.
That's what I was getting ready to say. The issue you have is you have a Nebraska team that's in rhythm, and you've done – and again, I'm not watching the game. I'm – sitting in the Bob room, and I don't have access to a TV. But what happens is when a team is in that zone, if you will, or in rhythm, you could take them out of it somehow, some way, you know. So, and if you don't, you're in trouble because you're putting so much pressure on you defensively. And you're not coming up with – now you've got to come down. And offensively, the Hoosiers don't seem to be necessarily that consistent themselves. And is that accurate? They're having some trouble scoring themselves. As you pointed out earlier, Khalil Ware double-teamed and not doing much, hasn't had many opportunities. And so you can't guard them well enough right now to offset the problems you're having offensively.
Yeah, that's correct. Indiana 4 of 14 from distance, so that's 29%. You look at Nebraska; they're 13 of 27, so 48%. And I just watched Keisei Tominaga, the leading scorer for Nebraska, now with 20 points. He just hit a step back going into the corner, I tell you what, Xavier Johnson could not have defended him any better.
Right,
and
right.
Just hit the bottom of that. So it's just one of those nights for Tominaga for Nebraska.
It's one of those nights, and there's a certain irony to it in the sense that all year long they've had trouble knocking down three. They've had trouble guarding people from three. And so when you least need it to happen, it rears its ugly head at the same time.
Yeah, and that's what Nebraska has done to them in both the previous games. I mean, Nebraska lit them up from three in Nebraska. Keisei Tominaga had like 28 in that game or something crazy, and then in the other game in Bloomington, they defeat Indiana 85-70, and they put up 51 points in the first half. This is pretty much just a repeat of that game all over again, because it was they put up 50 in the first half in this game today, and Tominaga had 20 in that one.
He's Eddie Garrison, getting ready for another one of his outstanding scoreboard updates. Stay with us. We're back for Eddie. Top of the hour scoreboard update coming up soon on Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.